Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's political reporter Lee Strubinger brings you the ballot basics as you prepare for Election Day. This week, he digs into the referred laws. Take a listen.
For having me.
We're getting close to this election, and it's time to talk about the referred laws on the 2016 ballot. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to begin?
Well, we can start with what a referred law actually is.
Let's start there. Tell me what it is.
Okay, sure. A referred law is basically a petition that goes out to prevent a measure that was passed by the legislature from becoming effective. Mm-hmm. It should have at least more or equal to 5% of the total vote for governor in the last gubernatorial election.
So let's start with Referred Law 19. How does that make it to our ballot?
Well, Referred Law 19 sort of started out as Senate Bill 69, and it was passed during the 2015 legislative session. This bill originally started off as a proposal from the Secretary of State's office and the Bipartisan Board of Elections. Basically, they wanted to move the dates back for filing candidate and ballot measure petitions. Hmm. Secretary of State Chantel Krebs says the original purpose of the measure was concern over the lack of time to challenge the signatures on a candidate or proposal petition in court before actually being certified and put onto the ballot. She says her proposal would have added about 4 more weeks before certification came down.
That included then changing the dates of circulation, and that was really the whole reason for the original language in that bill. But, however, it extensively changed in the 2015 session with the legislators. They amended it with a lot of other language that was not our original language agreed upon with the Board of Elections.
So how does Senate Bill 69 change the dates then?
Well, it moves the date that you can get a petition back by a month. So candidates can start circulating petitions on the first day of December all the way through to the first Tuesday of March. The current deadline for petitions, including this year, was the end of March. So and you could get those petitions on the 1st of January.
So far this sounds fairly harmless and, a little bit of paperwork. What happened to Senate Bill 69 that sort of ended up bringing it on the radar of petition gatherers, petition signature gatherers?
Right. One of those provisions that wasn't a part of Krebs's original language is that the bill passed by lawmakers requires that an independent candidate can only get signatures from other independents, the same as for Republicans and Democrats. Hmm. I had a chance to talk with Republican Senator Ernie Auden about this, and he was the one who proposed the amendment and voted in favor of the bill. Here's what he has to say about it.
So if you're tired of the Republicans for what they're doing, or if you're tired of the Democrats being an independent, I get that end of it. But having said that, when one rejects either party, what then gives them the right to think that they are aloof from everybody else? If you rejected being a Republican and you have rejected to be a Democrat, then why do you think that you should go back to those individuals and get signatures?
When I listen to what Ernie Auden says there, it sounds almost like independents are being punished or held accountable, and I'm guessing, or held accountable to their choice of party in a way that affects them. I'm guessing that's what some of others are saying as well.
Right. And that's what this law was referred and brought back to the voters to either approve or deny. Corey Heidelberger, who is a liberal blogger here in the state, he says the law would make it harder for independent candidates to reach the ballot. He also objects to moving the dates for gathering signatures back by a month. He says many candidates who are on the fence about running for office, they don't even start gathering signatures until later in the process. Hmm. That, and he also says December is a poor month for gathering signatures because of the weather. It gets dark a lot earlier, and there are people out Christmas shopping and that sort of thing.
He's calling Referred Law 19 the Incumbent Protection Act. Tell me more about that.
Yes. And he says, he says the law will result in fewer choices for the voters.
I know a lot of people who hadn't even, a lot of candidates, who hadn't even decided they were going to run by March 1st, let alone started circulating petitions or, handed in. So that's an example of how this law, Referred Law 19, had it taken effect, there are a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have gotten to the point of making a decision in time and wouldn't have submitted petitions in time to run for office. And voters would have had fewer candidates on their ballot.
So give me an idea, if Referred Law 19 goes into effect, what some of the implications of that are.
Well, Heidelberger says that if an independent candidate is gathering signatures to run for office, he says that in a room of about 100 people, 81% of folks in South Dakota are registered to vote. And he says any independent who's running for office in a room of about 100 people, on average, about 17 would be able to sign that petition for an independent. And he says, you know, that would make it really hard for independents to get on the ballot. So Heidelberger is basically arguing that more choices on election day is better rather than more time to challenge a candidate's petition or a ballot measure petition. And he says if Referred Law 19 goes into effect, there will be more uncontested elections in South Dakota.
All right, let's talk about Referred Law 20. How'd this one come about?
So in 2014, South Dakota voters voted to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $8.50 for non-tipped employees. The current minimum wage is $8.50, obviously, with cost of living adjustments. So currently it's $8.55. But in 2015, the state legislature passed a youth minimum wage at $7.50. So for workers under the age of 18. And that wage is also not subject to minimum wage adjustments. State Senator David Norstrup brought forth that bill, which tweaked the law that was passed by voters. He says a lower minimum wage helps younger workers get their first job.
Some people will say this is about businesses. I would argue it's actually more for the young person getting that job than it is for the business owner or for the business. It's not about the business saving money. It's about giving that young person their first job and getting that opportunity.
Any other states that have similar laws on the books?
He says that Minnesota has a similar law, but Minnesota's 18 or younger minimum wage is about a quarter higher than it's $7.75 rather than $7.50 here in South Dakota.
All right. So how does this get referred then?
Well, Corey Heidelberger, again, referred this law as well. And Heidelberger says that David Norstrup's bill just undermined the will of the voters in 2014.
That's why kids all over the state who are out working hard right now, last summer and this summer, their minimum wage is $8.55 an hour right now. They kept $8.50 last year. They got the nickel increase just like every other worker, and they're getting that thanks to our petition effort. Now we just have to power through to November and get the people of South Dakota to say, that's what we really meant. Let's set that minimum wage the same for everybody. Let's not cut it for the kids.
When I go into the voting booth on November 8th, and I want the minimum wage for kids to be the same as it is for adults, what do I vote for?
You vote no.
I vote no. Mm-hmm. And if I want independents to be able to gather signatures from Republicans and Democrats, I vote what?
You vote no as well.
All right. So no, no says I don't agree with what the legislature did. Yes says I do agree with what the legislature did, and those laws should stand.
Correct. And it is pretty clear on the ballot as well. Next to the no vote, it even says almost those exact words.
But you've got a lot to read on that ballot, so
yes.
fill out your sample ballot before you go into the voting booth on November 8th. That's my my editorial advice.
Yes, and be vigilant.
And be vigilant. Learn everything you can. Well, Lee Strubinger, you've brought us a long way into getting that information to us. We want to thank you for your time, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, we'll see you soon.